Amen. Bless His name today. I appreciate the presence of the Lord in this place. Amen. A lot of places don't know anything about a visitation from the Lord. You're blessed to be in God's house and Him be in the house. Amen. And so I thank Him and I praise Him for it today. Look in your Bibles, the book of Proverbs this morning, the book of Proverbs, chapter number 21. And we're going to read verse number 29, read a couple other places here in the book of Proverbs, and then we'll pray, try to preach as the Lord would direct our heart. And I do thank the Lord for His goodness to us. And by the way, the greatest thing you never tell anybody is about that day when the Lord saved you. Amen. I've had people say, "Preacher, I'd love to witness, but I just don't know what to say." Well, tell them how you got in. That's what you're needing to do anyhow. Amen. Matter of fact, you've got good Bible illustration for that in the Apostle Paul. Everywhere Paul went, he wanted to tell them about that midday experience that happened in his life. So you're always biblical telling about the day you got saved. Amen. And so I bless the good name of the Lord today. Proverbs 21, you're willing and able to stand this morning. Proverbs chapter 21 and reading verse number 29. Proverbs chapter 21 and reading verse number 29. The Bible said, "A wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way." Then look over at Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. And I'll look at verse 14. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 14. The Bible says, "Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." Then look over at Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 1. The Bible says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today for the privilege it is to be in your house. Lord, I thank you for the good songs that have ministered our heart, have stirred our hearts, and helped get our affection, our attention upon you this morning. I pray now for a little while as we open up the blessed word of God. Oh, may our hearts be opened up to receive what you have for us this morning. I ask you for that that's lost here today. Many, I said it here today, you've been dealing with day after day and week after week of their lost condition. I pray today, may the Holy Ghost one more time pass by their heart and I convict them and draw them unto yourself. Save them for Jesus' sake. And Lord, I ask you also for your people. Lord, help us that we'd always be that vessel that you can use. Help us, Lord, to bring honor, to bring glory unto your name. Father, thank you again for the reading the word. Take it, seal it to our heart. And Lord, everything you do, we'll praise you and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I've read to you probably, if you've read your Bible, any length, some verses that are familiar, especially in chapter 29 and verse 1. I'm interested in all three of these places where this word hardeneth appears. Three times in these three verses, the writer of Proverbs is talking about an individual who hardeneth. We find this word hardeneth. Now, I want to help you right here and listen to me. That word hardeneth means to be stout, to be firm, to make hard or more hard. It means to make insensible or unfeeling, or as to harden one against the impressions of pity or tenderness. It also means to be unyielding. It also means not easily moved. That's what he's saying here in these verses, that how people can get in such a shape that they are unmoved, or they're unyielding, that they're not easily touched. Brother Tim, I was singing about the day the Lord touched us. Hey, I'm glad that I felt His touch. I'm glad that I heard His voice. But understand this morning, if you're not careful, you can harden yourself. Amen. I thought in the last few days as these verses have been on my heart, I thought about Pharaoh there in Egypt in the book of Exodus. We find, yes, God hardened him, he sure did, but Pharaoh also hardened his own heart. And there is a danger of becoming hardened. And I'm to preach this morning, God helping me, just a few minutes on the danger of being gospel hardened. Have the danger of being gospel hardened. You and I here today, we are blessed, I believe, above many in the world today. You and I have sat under preaching. I mean Bible preaching, time and time again, God has took that word and touched our hearts and changed us and helped us. And where there's other folk in the world, they've not heard the amount of preaching you and I have. But if we're not careful, hearing it over and over again, if we're not real careful, we can become hardened to it. Amen. You see this thing of this word hardened. Now, let me say this, that ETH means it's an ongoing thing. It ain't that you just done it one time, but you're continuing to harden yourself. Also, hear this, to harden yourself, that is an act of the will. You choose to do this. It's not that you're made to do it, but you choose to harden yourself. Now, as you think about being hardened to the gospel, a person that is gospel hardened has a difficulty of hearing the voice of God. Amen. Right now, you are blessed. You hear his voice. He speaks, and man, it thunders in your soul. You feel his touch, and it's a great touch. But if you're not careful, you'll harden yourself, and you won't hear his voice like you one time did. It is also a danger becoming gospel hardened because you'll have no victory. Because in the Bible, in Proverbs 28:14, it said, he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief, not have victory, but become snared by sin. So there's a danger of becoming gospel hardened. Now, did you notice in our verses, there's a progression in the order that these verses are found in your Bible? It talked about first the face, then it went to the heart, then it went to the neck, and then after all this, judgment comes. There's a progression. You don't become gospel hardened overnight. There's a process of you getting hard to the Word of God. I thought this morning, my hands, I have calluses on my hands. They didn't come there overnight. There was a process. Something over and over again was happening, and they become callous. I can stick a pin in them, don't feel it. Why, they're calloused over. When I first had the blisters come up, boy, it was tender. It hurt. I knew it was there quickly. But after a period of time, you get where it's no longer hurting. It no longer, you know it's there. You have to actually look at it more, touch it, to know it's there after a period of time. That's how you can get spiritually this morning in hearing the Word of God. You can become hard into God's Word. Oh, this morning I'm trying to preach to you what God's laid upon my heart. It's not an easy message. It ain't a fun message. It's not a message that makes people shout, but I do pray it's a message that'll touch your heart and a message that'll change your life this morning. I don't know about you, but I want to stay tender to the touch of the Master. I want to be always able to hear him when he speaks to me. I've let myself at times begin to get calloused, and so have you if you'll be honest. And we need God to take the knife of the Word of God and to cut the calluses away. Get back down there to the tender place. Amen. Hey, we find there is a danger of being gospel hardened. Now, notice with me three things, and I'm done, and I'll have a conclusion, though, but I'll look at these three verses just a moment this morning. First of all, notice with me in Proverbs 21:29, in this hardening that we find in this verse, we see an act of deception. For the Bible said, a wicked man hardeneth his face. He is getting his face where he does not show any outward emotion. He is getting his face to a place that you do not know what's really going on in the depths of his soul. Have you ever heard the terminology, they have a great poker face? Well, that comes because they have learned not to show what they're thinking or what they're feeling. Can I share this with you today? There are a lot of Baptists have great poker faces. Amen. They have learned to keep where they don't cry. They don't want to cry. They don't want nobody to know that God has touched their heart. That they are hardening their face. That's what's happening. Just what the Bible said. You take some breaths and, oh, you shake yourself and, oh, you move around trying to keep your face where nobody knows. God's speaking to me. Amen. There's a danger in that. It's happening all across this country this morning. People go to church and they put on their Sunday clothes and how they go through the routine of having church. And boy, if God breaks in and God gets to moving, oh, their hearts are touched and convicted. And they think, I'm not going to let myself get tore up. I'm going to make sure that I keep a straight face. Oh, there's the danger. You see, that's an act of deception. I'm going to go on like everything's just fine. Amen. Many come and go to church in that shape. Brother Ben, they leave out of here, and God's been trying to speak to them, but they didn't want nobody to know, didn't want nobody to pray for them. They just went their own way. There's an act of deception in Proverbs 21 and verse 29. But then, and secondly, notice an act of deflection in Proverbs 28:14. An act of deflection. The Bible said, happy is the man that feareth Yahweh, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Now, this thing of hardening your heart, to deflect what God's trying to do in your heart. Amen. Hardeneth your heart. You're making it hard where you can't hear God speak. Where you can't feel God touch, there's a danger in you letting your heart get in this shape. You see, you start out just trying to keep a hardened face, trying to look like nothing. Then you begin to literally harden your own heart. Amen. Hey, everybody look up here this morning. I love you enough that I'm going to preach you what this Bible says. I do. I love you. I'm concerned about folk on our pews this morning. Lost and undone. I'm worried about you, about hardening your heart to the voice of God. But I tell you, I'm also worried about some saved people. For your heart and your heart this morning. Oh, you see, here's how it goes. I can take hard preaching. That's what's wrong with you. You can take it. Amen. You can't preach too hard for me. I know. And it's telling. Because you're no longer moving forward for God. Amen. Hey, I know it's been quiet lately, and that's okay, but I'm going to preach because God said preach. Amen. Hey, we ain't here to entertain you, but you can find them churches a dime a dozen in this county. Hey, right here, I want to hear what God's got to say to us. Amen. Hey, you ought to thank God you're sitting on a pew where they sing right and they preach right and the desire for God to work in our midst. Hey, there are people today, they've never heard what you've heard. Amen. Oh, I don't want my heart calloused. I don't want to get hard-hearted to the preaching of the word. I want Calvary to always move me. Amen. I want it when the man of God preaches against sin and it's my sin, that my heart is still tender, that I'm convicted over what I've been doing. Amen. Oh, friend, you see, you get that act of deception going, then you get an act of deflection, your heart and your heart. Oh, I'm okay. I don't need that. That's somebody else's message. Right? Hey, we go on to thinking, oh, I'm going to build up this wall around my heart. I'm going to callous it up. I don't want to get moved so much. Hey, I'll tell you something. I like to get moved every time I come to church. Somebody said, ain't you worried about them that go to the altar all the time? No, I'm not. I'm glad they're tender enough that if God touches them, they'll make a move. It's that crowd that you couldn't get them off that pew with a keg of dynamite that's a worrying me. Amen. Oh, but preacher, I'm saved. Oh, I'm saved too, but I have to find my way to the altar quite a bit. Amen. Hey, what? I want my heart to stay tender to the touch of God and to hear the voice of God. Oh, there's an act of deception. There is an act of deflection. But then in Proverbs 29:1, there is an act of defiance. He said there, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Hey, we have an act of deception, hardening the face. We have an act of deflection, hardening the heart. But now we have an act of defiance. We have a hardened our neck. You've got a stiff neck is what the Bible speaks about Israel in the Old Testament. Amen. Hey, getting a defiant attitude. Hey, let me say this about this verse. When a person hardens their neck, they are setting their will against God. They have, adamantly said no to God. It's not a casual thing, later. No, to harden your neck means you're telling God, I'm not going to do it. Amen. All my children are different in the ways we've had to deal with them through their life. We have one child who had a very strong will, more so than the others. And I've seen that child, stiffen their neck as they were being talked to. You say, surely not a preacher. Oh yeah, preacher kids are the same as your kids. And I'm going to say this too. There's a crowd, they're just a phase, they're just a bitch. Hey, if you buy that, you're buying a lie from the devil. You better understand this thing of stiffening the neck is serious. It's not a phase. It's not okay for them to express themselves. I'm sick of hearing that. That Bible is against that kind of saying and that kind of teaching. Amen. Why? Because you stiffen your neck, you get more of a rebel. That's right. And listen, when reproves what that verse, you've been corrected, you've been rebuked over and over and over, but you keep stiffening it. You are setting your will against God. Hey, that's a serious matter. Now, you know what's strange here today? Some people are hearing this kind of preaching for the first time in your life. But in the day when Dr. J. Harold Smith was alive, he preached it often. Amen. He preached God's three deadlines multitudes of thousands of times. And he was dealing with this one verse in places of setting your will, telling God, no, I will not get right. Hey, that's serious. Amen. Hey, you keep deflecting, you keep hiding what's going on. There'll come a day you'll stiffen your neck, you'll harden your neck against God. Oh, you're just setting your will against what God's wanting for your life. Oh, friend, I urge you, don't become hard. This generation has got hard. This world is full of hard-hearted people. It really is. That's why they can do what they're doing. Are you listening to me? Hey, people don't do some things they're doing and be normal. Amen. There's a place in their heart that they began to harden theirself. Now, there ain't nothing bothers them. We're doing that even as Christians if we ain't real careful being in this world. We get so used to stuff that it don't bother us no more. Hey, can I ask you something? Just asking a question. How long has it been since you just blushed? I mean, really blushed. Probably ain't been very often and may not even been lately. What's going on in our country? What's going on in our world? We are becoming hardened. We're no longer sensitive to what's going on around us. We're hard to it. Amen. Hey, there's a greater danger in being gospel hardened. I've heard all that before. That's what folks, I've heard that before. Hey, I may have heard it a million times, but I need it 1,000,001. Amen. Hey, we find that there's the act of deception, act of flesh, act of defiance. Well, preacher, what can I do? Preacher, I don't want to get hard. I believe most people sitting here this morning want to keep a tender heart toward God. That's why they're in the same boat. God got to moving. You know what was going on? People began to shout, began to raise their hand. Their heart was easily touched. Amen. Hey, I want my heart to stay like that. Preacher, how can I keep a tender heart? Five things and I'm done. Just going to give them to you in running. Now listen to me. They won't be profound to the world. Matter of fact, to the most average Christian here today, they're just going to say the same words. Said a moment, I've heard all that before. But it is right. Here are the five things that will keep your heart tender. Number one, pray. You have got to keep you a regular prayer schedule going on. You have got to have your place that you and the Lord get along and talk together. You see, the more you talk to Him, the more He'll talk back to you, and the more tender your heart will become. Amen. You talk to the world more than you talk to the Lord, and you are for sure to get hardened because the world's hard. Amen. Hey, if you want to keep a tender heart, keep praying. Hey, even when it seems like the heavens are brass, when it feels like God's not hearing your prayer, you just keep praying. Keep your heart tender in the place of prayer. Oh, now I say secondly, read your Bible. Now, you know, you get preaching on these two points right here, and expect reading your, oh, preacher, out reading how much? How often? How regular? You know, here's what's said. It well could be, if I asked you this morning, asked everybody to raise their hand, read their Bible every day this week, I wonder how many could raise their hand. You read your Bible. Hey, I know sometimes sickness comes and you can't hold your head up. Hey, God knows all that. I know about that. But you know what? There's time we can make time to get in our Bibles. This Bible will keep your heart real tender. Amen. When you look at what God has done in people's lives, when you look at the mercy of God in the Word of God, it will tenderize your heart. Amen. Hey, we find that just getting in the book, hey, you're always read your Bible daily. Sit down. Hey, you've got time for everything else. Now say amen right there. Hey, all of us have got 24 hours. If God lets you live a full day, you have 24 hours. What part is that spent on the flesh and the world, and what time spent on the Lord? And then we wonder why our churches are in the shape they're in and our nation's in the shape she's in. Amen. You take the Bible out of the home, you're going to have a home that gets full of the world. Amen. Hey, we find that to keep a tenor, you got to pray, you got to read your Bible. Number three, obey the voice of God. When God speaks to you and tells you to do something or He tells you don't do something, obey. Obey. If you don't obey, you're going to begin building up a callus to it. Now here, listen to me. God does speak to us each and every day if we'll listen. If we're not trying to keep Him far away where we can't, if we'll be real sensitive to Him, if we'll draw nigh to Him, He'll speak to us through this Bible. And when He speaks, we need to obey what He said. Number four, you need to stay faithful in church. I've never seen the beat in this generation. They don't think church is really all that important. And I want to tell you, everybody look up here. I want, especially every mom and daddy, I want you to look up here. If you don't think enough about church to be there three times a week when you can be here, are you listening? Hear me real good. You miss Wednesday night here and there, or Sunday night, or you get more, you just down to one service a week. There's going to come a day your child going to get wild, and you're going to talk about taking them to church, and you're lying. You didn't take them. Because what you did is you taught them church is not important. And you wonder why they won't go to church. Amen. I'm not trying to be mean and ugly. I'm trying to get you to look. Hey, we have got to get our hearts tender. And coming to church will help to keep your heart tender. Amen. You need the house of God. Hey, you need to get away from the world. That's what I really love about church. Get in here, away from the talk, away from their music, away from their thinking, and get in here with God's people. Boy, I do. I love church. It helps me. Amen. And then let me say number five, don't give in to sin. Sin is going to come tempt you. Now, you know this. You know this well. The first time you do something, it'll tear you up. Second time, it'll bother you. The more you get involved, the less it will bother you. What's happening is that hardening. It's that callousing going on. Friend, we need to be careful. I want to keep a tender heart. That's why, I thank God I felt Him speak to me and touch me this morning during the singing. Now, I know maybe somebody think, boy, we ought to have been shouting. We could have. Now, I would have egged it on if you'd kept going. Amen. But this is what Lord laid on my heart. Because you know how wonderful that was. If you ain't careful, you'll get hard to that. You'll get where you don't see it, and you don't hear it, and you don't feel it anymore. Hey, keep a tender heart toward God. Let Him work in you. Let Him change your life. He wants to. Hey, sinner, I beg you, please don't keep telling Him no. I beg you, please don't set your will, be adamant that you're not going to get saved. You talk about being in danger, you'll be in great danger. Because, friend, one day God will speak for the last time to you. It will happen. Oh, friend, while He's dealing, you need to turn to Him. Call upon Him. Be saved today. Child of God, keep your heart tender that you can serve Him better and do more for Him. Father, take the message.